The Real Estate Talk Podcast, Season 2, with Robert Keilman and Joshua Britt.
That's correct.
Featuring topics about real estate nobody is talking about.
You need your expertise on it.
The Real Estate Talk Podcast starts now.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Talk Podcast. We're on season 2, episode 12. Going to deliver some of the most recent headlines in the media surrounding the real estate industry and give you some commentary, and hopefully you find that useful as you navigate through the treacherous area of real estate these days. Stay tuned. Holy cow, let's look at some headlines. So, a lot of different information going on in the news.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, we're going to go ahead and in this episode of the podcast, we're just going to get through some of the news headlines, provide you some commentary, and hopefully can give you some information as you navigate this muddy waters of real estate these days. So, let's start off with the first headline. Court weighs the $4.7 billion Sitzer ruling against the last holdout, Home Services. Now that the most defendants have agreed to settle the bombshell Sitzer Burnett case, you remember that Keller Williams bent the knee and they went ahead and settled. Remax bent the knee and settled. And who else?
Anywhere.
Anywhere, which is a conglomerate that owns different real estate companies like Better Homes and Garden. Mm-hmm. Who else do they own?
A few others. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They gave up the fight.
Yeah. They stopped fighting. So I guess Home Services of America is the only lone wolf left, and they might be left holding the bag for the remaining damages to the tune of $4.7 billion. Holy cow. So Home Services of America, also known as Berkshire Hathaway, they're the last holdouts here. Even the National Association of Realtors, used to be the largest trade organization in America. I don't know if they're going to stay that way forever, but they're the only ones that didn't settle. I don't know why.
Well, look, I think this is like a hard-hitting wake-up call for most of our counterparts in the industry, even though you and I, we've been talking about it for months.
Months.
And so, you know, they're just now getting this wake-up call. But what if Home Services of America is the smartest one in this whole thing? And here's why I say that. You know, the funny part, but not so funny part about this whole lawsuit and the claim that the seller is paying all the commissions is actually false. The buyer is actually paying all of the commissions because, you see, without the buyer's loan or their cash to buy that house, the seller can't pay any commissions.
That's true. So in anybody who has bought a house before, what happens is the buyer's loan, the money gets wired to an intermediary. It could be an attorney's office or a title company. Yep. And that intermediary disperses the funds.
Right.
So it goes to pay off that seller's mortgage on their house, pays the commissions from the agents, and all the other fees that everybody charges, all the lender fees, all the titling fees, the title insurance.
Title insurance. Yeah. Lenders, title insurance.
Yeah, all that
title
stuff.
Insurance. So, again, this is why I say – like, maybe Home Services of America is the only smart one in this. Mm. I don't know, because when you make the argument that the buyer is truly the one who's paying the commissions, because all of the money in the whole transaction comes from the buyer.
Yeah.
It comes from the buyer's loan or it comes from the buyer's cash.
So what's getting paid out is essentially the seller's equity in their home.
You know,
It's
not even their equity, because the home is only worth what someone's willing to pay.
It's market value.
That's right. And listen, how many times have we seen a seller list a house at $500,000 only to take a $10,000 price reduction?
Yeah, or more.
The only reason why it's worth $490 is because the buyer says, I'll pay the $490.
Yeah.
The thought that it's the seller's equity is the problem here in this whole thing, because this bottle of water, even though it's Fiji, it's only worth what someone's willing to pay for it. If the average person is only willing to pay 50 cents, it's 50 cents.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the market value.
So the whole problem here is with the notion of people thinking that the seller is actually paying the commissions. No, the buyer is paying the commissions. It's being financed over 30 years. So maybe buyers need to get together and put together a lawsuit as well, because they are truly the one who's paying the commissions. The commissions are actually the price of the home is determined by what the agents, in most cases, say the value of the home is worth based off of what they feel that they could get for the home from a reasonable buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what the seller thinks, I can't tell you how many times I sat down with the seller who thought their house was worth more than, whether it was because Zillow's estimate said it was worth this or whatever they thought it was. They thought their house was worth more than what it was. And it was, no, listen, your house is worth this much money because this is what I can get a reasonable buyer to pay for the house.
Right. That's anything that has a market value to it. You know, so homes is another thing. I would even argue vehicles, even though it costs so much money to manufacture. If they take, now remember the pandemic, they were charging obscene amounts of money for cars. So I think I was watching a Dodge Charger Hellcat. They're trying to get rid of it for $140,000.
Yeah.
And I remember commenting on there and saying, what in the wide world is sports? Would anybody pay for that much money? I don't care if it has a Hellcat engine or not.
They were selling them.
Yeah, but at that point, buyers were willing to pay that somehow. So that's why they commanded that price.
That's right.
But are they paying that now?
Probably not.
Hell no, they're not paying that now.
And you know what's funny is the salespeople who work at the car dealerships also work on commissions as well.
Yeah.
So, like, but they get paid their commission based off of what they sell the car at.
Yeah.
So, and we work the same way, because at the end of the day, when it's all done and said, the money that is paid out is actually the buyer's money.
Yeah.
It's not the seller's money.
Yeah, it's an interesting way of looking at that. I don't mind looking at it that way, because look, at the end of the day, all this lawsuit did is it made buying a home for a buyer much more difficult. You say, well, the buyer just may not need to use an agent. Says those who never work with home buyers, especially first-time home buyers. They don't have a freaking clue. This is something new for them to learn. And a lot of times as an agent, you are teaching them everything that they have never learned about real estate up until this point.
Yeah, and even about maintenance that's required on a home.
Yeah, they have no idea. They're already nervous. So you have to, and the nerves, it comes from not knowing.
Yeah.
What am I getting myself into? This is huge. This is a huge purchase, you know. How much is all this stuff going to cost to, you know, fix, you know, if I have to maintain the home? So I just like the rent, because all I got to do is pay this guy this money per month. And if I have a problem, I call him and the landlord fixes things. That's much easier for me to worry about than buying a house, right? So getting somebody to see the value in property and how that could be a good investment over time. And then, yes, I am saying investment, and all those jerk out there that keep saying, your home is not an asset. Your home is not an asset because you're not making any money off of it. Just rent. These guys who sell rentals, by the way.
Yeah.
They peddle rentals. So that's why, of course, they'll tell you to rent.
Yeah. So they own multifamilies, large number of multifamilies.
And they have houses that they will leverage and use it to buy other assets and stuff. So don't listen to these heads out there saying that dumb shit.
There you go. You don't went and did it.
because I had somebody come up to me recently and I was at that project house we were working at. And he says, Robert, and I'm changing the subject real quick, but then he was like, you think if you stop cussing so much, you would get more people to listen to your podcast. And I was like, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I think I'm just going to talk me. Yeah, this is how I normally talk. This is how I normally talk. I even talk like this in front of clients.
Oh, yeah.
And some agents will be like, fawning over themselves. You say cuss words in front of clients. I'm like, I try not to, but, you know, they just do. They tend to slip out at times.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough about me. I will say another thing about the other agents. This one thing about that Sitzer Burnett case is once it was announced that the NAR bent the knee and settled, all of a sudden, my TikToks and my Instagram reels and my YouTube shorts were blowing up with real estate agents wringing of hands and lamenting about the commission ruling. Agents stormed TikTok with a flood of complaints after NAR settlement. TikTok's days in America is maybe numbered. Yeah, you know, TikTok may be going away here soon.
Yeah.
Thanks to hawkish members of Congress, but that didn't stop multitudes of real estate agents from taking to the platform over the past 3 days to weigh in on the big commission lawsuit settlement from the National Association of Realtors.
If you believe that the NAR settlement is going to lead to a decrease in home prices, you're an idiot.
Oh, boy.
Look, first of all, I'm not on TikTok, so I'm not even going to see any of the complaints. But, you know, I think a lot of it comes – there's a lot of people who are – in the industry who are they're misinterpreting the lawsuit, right?
Yeah.
The you know, it's easy to look at the negative side of everything. And so immediately when the news broke, people just went straight negative and they were like, buyers are gonna have to pay their own commissions and that. But you know, I look at it and I say, okay, well, where's the opportunity?
There's opportunities here.
100%. There's opportunities in everything, right? It's the yin and the yang, right?
Half empty, half full. Glass half empty, half full. You got to look at it's half empty. There's still more to fill your cup with.
There you go, right? Yeah. So realistically, it comes down to the people who are the best negotiators are going to be the ones who continue to do deals, right? And, you know, for me, I'm not concerned about it. And I also see an opportunity in it because, you know, on one hand, people will say that, you know, the 6% standard was fair and, you know, it should remain. But on the other side, it was limiting my ability to earn more money.
Yeah, I mean, because who made up that stupid rule anyway? The National Association of Realtors. You know, the ones that take your money and do nothing with it?
Yeah.
No, not our money. We're not realtors.
No, we don't pay them.
We're not realtors. We're real estate agents, you know? So anyway, now you can't use that. Realtors are just so much more ethical. Are they, though? Are they really now? Anyway, but look, that they set that standard of 6% commission. Well, that standard's no longer there.
Yeah. So, it opens the door for you, especially if you're a buyer's agent, to say, hey, look, my rate's 4%.
Yeah.
Like, you need to sell your house. I have a buyer who, in my opinion, is paying the commissions. My rate's 4.
Yeah.
So, like, and, you know, it's not like it's unheard of because you have builders right now who are offering 4% commission
plus bonuses
plus they will even buy down the buyer's interest rate to a fixed 5.5% over 30 years. So like there is a lot of incentives that builders are willing to pay for a buyer because they understand that if I have a house that I want to sell, unless somebody brings this buyer to me, I can't sell this house.
Yeah. Well, I even as investors, when we rehab houses, we're still offering commissions. You know, we'll always get ours sold. And you know what I really don't think? I don't think anything is going to really change that much. I think there's going to be some sellers that won't offer commission after the house sits on the market 60, 90, 120 days. Yeah,
they'll be right back.
They'll be right back.
Oh, it's, like, again, I think a lot of the people who are complaining, they may were not in the business, or maybe they forget what it was like in like 14, 15, 16. You know, sellers were paying bonuses back then to agents to sell their house because there was the inventory was, you know, it was just there was tons of inventory.
I mean, you were in the business longer than me, but I came in 18, and I remember that time they were offering agent. They give you the 3% commission, yes. But they said, oh, we'll also give you a $3,000 bonus on top
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, because the seller needed to move the house. The seller needed to sell the house. And you know what? The crazy part is the philosophy back then was, oh, well, it's the buyer's money anyways. They're really paying for it. So the buyer's really paying for this bonus anyhow.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy how when you get into this court of law, that these attorneys flip this thing around and they make everybody think that the seller's paying the commissions.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. The buyer's paying it. It's the buyer's money. It may not necessarily be the buyer's money, but it is the bank's money if it's a loan.
It's the money from the bank that makes everything happen.
Exactly.
Without it, there wouldn't be no deal.
A cash buyer is paying their cash to this seller
directly
for the house.
Yeah.
And it's their money.
Yeah.
So how does the seller think that they're paying the commission?
It's just coming out of their equity. So that's really what they should be.
No, it's not coming out of their equity. That's the false narrative that's being told to people. Listen, when listing agents
set the price. But that's what they're thinking.
Yeah, but it's a false narrative. It's fake. It's fake.
Because your only equity is what a buyer is willing to pay for it. That's what your real equity is.
So if you think your house is worth $500,000 and you can't sell that at $500,000, but you could sell it at $475,000 because the buyer's willing to pay you $475,000.
Then that's the price.
That's the price. Worth. But it's still the buyer's money.
Right. The buyer
so
makes the decision.
The buyer is paying the commissions and not the sellers, but that's the false narrative that these attorneys convince people to believe.
I will expand on that a little bit too, because as interest rates continue to hover high, the affordability of a house, because that mortgage payment is going to go up with that high interest rate, right? So if there's going to be less buyers willing to pay that certain amount for those homes, then those values will start to drop too, because it's all about buyer demand. What's the appetite for that buyer and the affordability with a value meal at Wendy's costing $12 now? Everybody's feeling that. I know they are. The equity in the house will diminish if there's no buyer demand, and the buyer's money being from the lender, if it's not paid, then there is no commissions. There is no,
That's right.
There's no money made off your house. It's all comes down to the buyer. So only thing that this lawsuit really did is making it more difficult for buyers to purchase a home. And the result of that is going to be lost values on home, because if there's no buyers demanding that high price for your house, then you're losing equity anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the reason why we put out in the last, you know, two podcasts ago that everybody lost except for the attorneys.
Yeah, attorneys
they're the only ones who won in this whole thing. So no one should be celebrating, whether you're a homeowner, a seller, a buyer, agent. No one should be celebrating. The only people who won are the attorneys that actually handled the case, and they convinced whoever, or a judge or somebody, with this false narrative that the seller is paying a commission. And anybody who believes that the seller is paying the commission, drop a comment below, because I will debate you on it.
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, Fannie Mae no longer expects mortgage rates to drop below 6%.
Yeah, I never thought they were anyways.
I mean, in earlier predictions, I thought that it was going to at least hit 5.75 towards the end of the year, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen then.
Nah, I never thought that the inflation was going to remain low enough, long enough for them to make cuts. And basically with us almost through the first quarter and then going into the time of the year when most people are traveling, buying houses, we talk about the spring buying season, things like that. That's only going to spike inflation a little bit more over the next few months through the summer. So I always thought that at the very earliest we would see a cut would be somewhere in the fall. But now that's actually looking a little bit dimmer as well. And I know that the Federal Reserve Chairman spoke, and he said that they're still on track for 3 cuts. I wouldn't hold your breath.
I don't think they're going to cut because he keeps saying the inflation data is above, what was it, 2.5? Was the last inflationary data? Mm-hmm. So 2.5, you're dangerously close to 2%. I don't know. Why don't you just cut?
No. Because it's the fact that the trend line isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So we were down, and then we had a blip up, right? And so now it's like, hey, is this just a one-off or is it not? But I think what you're going to see as the year progresses with us going into the time of year when most people are going to be traveling, you know, we got spring break coming up, you know, the staging company we use, they let me know this morning, hey, we're going to be gone for spring break, you know, next week. So like it's that time of year when people are traveling, spring break's coming, and the school year will be out soon before you know it. And then families will be taking vacations, spring buying season start. And so you're going to see more competition for houses. So with all those things happening, you can expect that the inflation data is going to go up before it goes back down.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not in the real estate industry, just expect higher interest rates until further notice.
Yeah. And I mean, look, it's not 8% like it was last October. So just be thankful for that.
Yeah.
And the narrative has always been the same. If you're going to buy a house, buy a house. Don't buy the interest rate. Buy the house, right? Yeah. Because interest rates go up and down. They're variable, right? So even though yours is fixed, when you buy a house, if the rates start going lower, what then refinance down into a lower interest rate?
Yeah. I would say, I think, what would you say the rate drop before you refinance should be? Half a point, one full point, or...
So
the point being a percentage point.
It all depends, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had our retail lender and a broker on here on the last episode. And, you know, a lot of the loans that are being done right now are coming in with the buyer paying points to get those rates. Well, if you pay a point or a half a point in order to get that rate, you have to understand that you're prepaying the interest for that rate.
Yeah.
So the minute you refinance down, well, you've lost your prepaid interest because now you've refinanced into a lower rate, and that's great. You got a lower rate, but you prepaid for interest up front.
Yeah, you already paid never for that got interest. Used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
let it run its course.
Exactly. But, you know, again, the best case scenario is that you get an interest rate that is at what we call a par rate, meaning you don't have to pay any points.
Yeah.
And so take that rate, whatever it is, and if interest rates go down over time, great. Refinance down into the lower rate. But prepaying interest right now might not be the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be the best thing you could use your money for.
Anyway, what else we got in the news?
New construction housing starts surge to 1.52 million, a 10.7% increase from January, indicating strong optimism among home buyers for the spring market.
That's good.
Yep. This growth was primarily driven by a significant rise in single family construction, contrasting with notable decrease in multifamily starts, potentially signaling future rent increases because they're not building as many multifamilies now.
I know.
And building permits also saw a modest rise, and home completions jumped significantly, reflecting positive builder sentiment and expectations of moderating mortgage rates boosting family construction.
Hmm.
Well, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, buyer sentiment up then?
Well, the builder sentiment is up. But
well, their sentiment wouldn't be up if they didn't feel as though there was a need for them to build.
That is true. But maybe they acted a little bit too early. So, you know, I pulled off the RAIN, our marketing data that came out on the 10th for February, for the month of February. And
I didn't even look.
New construction home sales down 12%.
In our area, 12%?
In our area, new construction home sales down 12%, while pending home sales were up 10%.
So regular homes up,
and new construction's down. Hmm. Well, why would that be? Probably because the builders are building at an inflated cost, and most home buyers are like, I would rather just go with another house that is more price conscientious than to go with this new construction home that is literally at the top of the market.
I also think that, and we had the builders on before, we asked them why they wouldn't build more affordable housing.
Yeah.
And when I say affordable, basically in your market, I would say at the median or below of what the median price is, that would be considered affordable in your market. So they're not building the affordable ones anymore because they said there's no money in it or there's not enough money in it. Well, you can only keep building because the new constructions just seem to be becoming more and more and more and more expensive.
Oh, yeah. Like, why would you not keep going up? Because
they
make their own comps.
Right. But yeah, because the new construction only comps against new construction, but there gets to a point where nobody can afford it anymore.
That's right.
Only 1% is going to be able to afford it now. So now you're. Now you're going to have to try to find a 1%er.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the reason why the builders are willing to pay more of a commission to a buyer's agent because they desperately need to get rid of these houses.
Builders still sell no matter what. You know, it's just it might have to take them a little bit more money to move it.
Yeah, either more money to move it or price reductions, right? Because that's the only other thing that
get down to the market value. The market value is what the buyer's willing to pay for it.
And again, the seller, the new construction builder has no problem paying commissions because in their mind, they already know that the buyer is paying the commission because...
Except for Ryan Holmes. And you can actually go on consumerreports.org. I'll link it in the description and look at all of the complaints from Ryan Holmes. They not only cut commissions to agents, they cut corners on the build quality. Not... According to what I'm saying what their previous customers have said.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. Go ahead and throw Ryan Holmes under the bus, but
Look.
They did it to themselves.
Part of the reason why Ryan Holmes does it is because if you ever go into a Ryan Holmes new construction site, one of the
they're first, beautifully shown. Yeah. I will say that their layout and the way that everything looks really good.
Yeah, and so
the marketing is good. It's top notch.
Yeah, and so they feel like their homes sell themselves, right? So they don't want to pay any agents. They don't want to pay any commissions, right? They barely pay the staff that works for them. You know, they maybe get $500 a transaction.
What?
Yeah, just to fill out the paperwork, and that might be even too much, but. But where Ryan Holmes really, really takes the cake is if you go into a Ryan Holmes new construction site, they're going to, I don't want to use the word force, but they're going to convince you that you need to get pre-approved with NVR.
Who's NVR?
Well, NVR and Ryan Holmes are like one and the same.
It's a lending company that
they own. It is a lending company that they own.
So they get paid off the loan and they get paid off the sale of the house.
That is right.
And they don't want to pay anybody anything else.
That's right. So they get to collect all of the interest off the house, at which point, you know, for buyers out there, there's really only a few ways that you can get out of buying a home, right? That is, you have a home inspection. Well, with new construction, they tell you, "Oh, you don't need a home inspection. Like all of the homes are inspected by city inspectors, whatever, right?"
Yeah.
And then the second thing that they'll, the second way that you can get out of a contract is if your financing falls through, like you're no longer able to get a home loan.
Yeah.
Well, with Ryan Holmes, they don't give you the opportunity to get an inspection, or they will convince you that you don't need one because
really, I never let a client buy a Ryan home.
Well, yeah. So, they will convince you that you don't need a home inspection because the home site is inspected by a city inspector. That's one. Two, because you're pre-approved through their lender, which they may in difficult times say, oh, yeah, you can use whoever you're already pre-approved through, but you also have to get pre-approved through NVR.
Yeah.
Before we let you sign the contract. And the reason why is because that's the only way you can get out of that contract once you sign it is your financing. And if your current lender says, like, oh, no, you don't qualify for whatever reason, you overspent in the design shop, right? Because, you know, they base price everything, and then you got to go to the design shop, pick out level 1, 2, 3 countertops, cabinets, flooring, whatever.
Yeah, because what they show you is the hero home.
Yes.
Right?
But, with everything in it.
But they put the price on a basic home with the basic carpet, you know what I mean? And you have to add all these add-ons, like a bunch of microtransactions, and until you reach that. And now your house price has just got inflated by several thousands of dollars.
So. Yeah, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it just depends on what they do.
Just depends on what your appetite is when you're in that design center. And, you know, recently I showed Orion Homes, and even like ceiling fans, which most people would think like in the center of a new construction home, in the ceiling.
No, that's extra. They'll put the blank on the wall, on the ceiling.
Exactly. You would think there should be a light there, but you look up and it's a blank. And it's like, why is this blank here? And it's like, oh, they didn't pay for the upgrade.
And the refrigerator's extra too in that too.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't come with a refrigerator.
Exactly. So with all of the joking about Ryan Homes as a home buyer, shop around. You know, there are builders, good quality builders.
Or just read something like the comments from actual buyers who have bought Ryan Homes. Again, I've never bought a Ryan home. I would never. And but looking at what other people have said about it, and I mean, here, look, do your research. There's a reason why they're ranked under 2 out of 5. I'm just saying. All right, enough about Ryan Holmes.
Yeah, stop beating about him Ryan up. Holmes. So, I mean, the next thing was the apartments article, right? And, you know, in the homes.
Well, wasn't that a trend that a lot of folks are, even for rentals, are kind of moving away from the apartment concept and like to move towards more single family living as more of a desire?
That was part of what was being said, right? And so, they, even in the homes new construction startup article, they mentioned about the slowdown in multifamily 5+ unit apartment complexes. And the concern is that the workforce in the apartment style business model was going to suffer.
Yeah.
And but because we are in this paradigm where multifamily 5+ unit permit startups has decreased. Single family new construction permits has increased. Normally they run one way or the other, but they run together. And this is an opposite situation. And so what they're basically saying is like, hey, there's a pool of workers over here that would normally be building apartment style homes, but they're not going to be building them, so maybe they're going to move over into single family homes and try to fill the void in some of the single family homes. But then as I continued to read the article, I'm thinking, and knowing the data from Rain about the slowdown in new construction home sales, so now if you have workers over here in apartments that aren't working because the new permit for multifamilies has slowed down, and you have an increase in permits for new construction single-family homes, but they're not selling, well, do we see a problem here? You got a lot of laborers who builders won't keep building houses if they're not selling houses. So now you could potentially see a layoff in construction workers. And this is speculation.
Please lay them off because we need more workers for our projects.
But you could see a layoff in workers in the new construction sector and in multifamilies just because they're not building any more multifamilies or there's a slowdown in it.
Yeah.
But what ultimately happens in this scenario, if it plays out, is
those are the most neglected pieces of real estate that I have seen. Like multifamilies, like quadplexes, and the smaller ones.
Yeah, but no, we're talking about 5+.
So we're talking,
yeah, we're talking about like apartment complexes. We're talking 5+.
They're neglected
units.
Too,
and it depends on how old they are, who owns them, things like that. But the point I want to make is, you know, we need to be watching, and it's something I'm watching, is, you know, the labor market shift of new construction workers from multifamily into single family, and a slowdown in single family, new construction, single family sales. Well, that means the builders are going to start laying people off, and, you know, obviously maybe they're going to have to start reducing the prices on homes, which could have a trickle down effect.
Well, yeah, it's going to have a trickle down effect, because land will become cheaper because less people will want to buy it, and it's going to still cost to develop it. And the permitting and all the other stuff, if there's less builders getting permits, less wait in line, I would imagine. But this is going to come, I think this is all going to really come to fruition and get a bigger, clearer picture once we hit a buyer's market. But before that, I think we're going to hit a recession first. Sorry, I'm going to say it. I think within the next 1 to 2 years, we're hitting a recession.
Possible.
I think it's probable.
It could be sooner.
I think after that recession's over, I think it'll be a light recession. But I think once it's over, we're going to have a resurgence into the buyer's market again. Interest rates will have to drop down. But if it dropped down too much and we don't have enough inventory to bounce back with, then we'll hit another seller's market again. But I think the most likely scenario is we're going to end up being on a buyer's market trend for a bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to head that way. The new construction sales lagging is going to force them to drop prices, which is going to force regular retail home sales to cut their prices, because they can't appraise at the same price that new construction is selling at if it's lower.
I mean, I think even so, even banks are starting to foreclose more, I'm noticing. And I think we even had this conversation. You're like, I'm getting nervous, man. Properties are starting to get too easy to get.
Yeah, there is a lot more foreclosures, distressed sales starting to pop up as well. But a lot of those situations right there is, you know, in our conversation, you mentioned about the rapid rise in home prices also means a rapid rise in taxes.
Yeah.
And while your home loan has a fixed rate for your principal and interest, those taxes aren't fixed rate. And so for somebody who bought, let's say, 15 years ago on the heels of the recession, when you got the, you know, rock bottom prices in the housing market, and then now that house, that value of that house has gone up 400%, you know, in some situations, depending on where you bought. You know, we talk all the time about certain neighborhoods where, you know, we see
values just skyrocketed.
Yeah, 10 years ago, it was like, oh, that was $60,000. Today, they're getting $240,000, $250,000, $260,000 for these places. So, you know, with that being the case, in a 400% increase in home value, well, and that comes with the price, and it's higher taxes.
Well, yeah, the city's going to take notice of that and reassess your value on your house, your tax assessed value, and that is going to go up in your monthly mortgage payment. So if you were just making ends meet every month in your mortgage payment and your taxes went up, well, it's going to get harder to pay that mortgage every single month. It'll be a lot harder to make any emergency repairs you need to do to that home, and before you know it, it becomes a distressed property, because it just can't afford to either maintain it or keep it. And we're starting to see some more of that, right?
Yeah.
So,
and it really is. It's those, that increase in the taxes on top of everything.
It's not only that, it's the home insurance.
Insurance.
Yeah, you know, we talked about everything. It when we had that home insurance broker on, Mr. Spurgeon.
Yeah.
And he talked about it, how the home insurance companies around the country are just bleeding money out because of paying for all these natural disasters and all these claims and everything. And so those are rising too. And if you were just making ends meet on your mortgage payment, God, I feel for folks like that, you know, because I mean, how long did it take them to get the house, and they've had it for so long, and now they can't keep it. And maybe they didn't sell it too soon. They didn't sell it soon enough, or they thought that things would change over time. And before they know it, we're buying it.
Yeah.
I mean,
or some other investor.
Or
but
some
yeah.
other investor, yeah.
Or so, the bank is taking it back and
the bank's foreclosing taking it back. On it. Foreclosing on it, yeah.
All right, man.
That's it,
I think that's it. We wrapped it up.
Yep. All right, guys. If you like this video, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. Leave a comment below. Let us know what you thought about the podcast. Also, check out some of our most recent videos, especially as the lenders were duking it out. That was our previous podcast. That thing seems to keep going strong.
Yeah.
So check that out if you haven't already. But with that, thanks for watching, guys. See you soon. Until the next time.